We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way. We invite you to stay with us, trusting that the Lord will make our Way of Truth broadcast a real blessing to you today. Brother Roger Hood singing for us, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And he started out that hymn by singing that he would rather have Jesus than to be the king of a vast domain. Suppose you were the king of a vast domain, how long would it last? How long would it be until you passed from this life and left the domain behind? But if you have the Lord Jesus, you have life, and if you die in the faith, you will have eternal life, which means more than anything and everything in this world today. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the love that brought Jesus into this world, made it possible for us to have life and to have life eternal. We're praying that you'll bless our precious congregation today, and if there be any who are in our congregation, who know thee not, we pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them, will draw them, for it would be a delight to us to know that some precious soul has come to know thee through the instrumentality of this broadcast. So bless the broadcast, bless this congregation, and work in behalf of souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share the Way of Truth broadcast with you. We're thankful for those who take time to let us know that it is a blessing. We're also thankful for those who are making it possible for our broadcast to be on this station. At the close of our broadcast today, we'll be giving you our mailing address. We would be thankful if you'd take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate the broadcast.
When I feel disheartened, forsaken, forgotten, Jesus is precious to me. In every condition, He is my physician. Jesus is precious to me. Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Is precious to me. He is my Savior, Lord and my Master. Jesus is precious to me. It's not earthly treasure. It's not worldly pleasures that seem so important to me. And though I prize friendships and praise God for kinship, there's no one so precious to
praise
me.
The Lord.
Jesus is precious, He is so precious, Jesus is precious to me. He is my Savior, Lord and is precious to me. He's comfort in sorrow. He's hope for tomorrow. Jesus is precious to me. He's all that what more could I ask for? Jesus is precious to me.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Jesus is precious. Lord and my Master, Jesus is precious to me.
Our subject for today's broadcast, First Century Christians. And I'll read from Acts chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Here in verse 25, we're told that Barnabas departed from Antioch and went to Tarsus for to seek for Saul. And in verse 26 we read, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." What exactly is Christianity, and has it always been as it is today? Christianity, in most people's view, it would seem, is all religions that claim to believe in Christ, regardless of what they teach. But is this really true? Let's look for a moment at contemporary denominations. Denominationalism is many different churches teaching many different doctrines. And this did not exist in the first century. No, denominationalism did not exist in the first century. And I speak of the time of Jesus and the apostles when I speak of the first century. Denominations are the results of a party spirit and men rallying around men. For I know this, Paul said, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's Acts chapter 20 and verse 29 and 30. Now we read also Paul's writings to the young man Timothy. The Spirit speaketh expressly that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's look for a moment at some of the origins of some of the denominational churches. The Lutherans date back to 1520 A.D. The Episcopalians, 1530 A.D. The Baptist, 1607. The Methodist, 1739. The Mormons, 1830. Now, that's just to name a few. Today, there are hundreds of denominations, but none of them can trace their origin back to the first century Christians. In the first century, there was one church, and the local congregations were united around the Word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, as recorded in 1 Corinthians 4 and 17, as I teach everywhere in every church or in every congregation. So Paul is saying here, what I have taught you there at Corinth, I teach everywhere I go. And Paul had been instrumental in helping to establish various congregations. And he said, wherever I go, I preach the same message. I preach the same thing as I teach everywhere in every church. He did not have to change the message because he went from one denomination to another. There was no denominations as such in his day, but there were Church of God congregations, and again, he helped to establish many of them, and he was able to go from congregation to congregation preaching the Word of God. Now, when we think about Roman Catholicism, many think of the Catholic Church when they think of ancient Christianity. And it is true that Catholicism does predate all Protestant denominations, but it cannot be traced back to the first century. I repeat, it cannot be traced back to the first century. Roman Catholicism came as a result of the departure from the faith years after the death of the last apostles. The first bishop in Rome was not called Pope. No, the bishop in Rome was not called Pope until around the year 606 A.D. The priest began to dress differently from the laity in 500 A.D. The doctrine of purgatory was first established by Gregory the Great about 593 A.D. The kissing of the Pope's feet began in 709. Canonization of dead saints began 995. The celibacy of the priesthood was decreed in the year 1079. The rosary, 1090. confession of sins to the priest at least once a year was decreed in 1215 A.D. The Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary was proclaimed by Pope Pius IX in 1854. The same pope proclaimed the dogma of papal infallibility in 1870, and these dates are quoted from an article by Stephen I. Testa. Now let us go back to the first century, where every Christian was a priest. Yes, I said, let us go back to the first century, where every Christian was a priest. Notice these, and these are the words of the Apostle Peter. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. And again, I call your attention to the fact that those are the words of the Apostle Peter. And Peter says that all Christians were priests. Well, the Word of God also teaches us that the Christians are kings and priests. And you know, a king is one who ruled. And a Christian is one who rules over sin. Sin does not rule over him. The Bible teaches us sin shall not have dominion over you. So a king is one who rules, he reigns. And a Christian is one who reigns over sin. If you're not reigning over sin today, it's because you're not a Christian. Pardon me, but that is the truth. And a priesthood, in Old Testament times, it is true that the Israelite brought his sacrifice there to the brazen altar where the priest met him and he made his sacrifice. But under the new covenant, all Christians are priests, which simply means that we individually have the privilege of coming to God through Jesus Christ ourselves. We do not need some man to intercede in our behalf or to go between us and God. No, we have the privilege through Christ of coming directly to God ourselves. In fact, we are instructed in the Scriptures to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find grace to help in time of need. Now, the early morning time, the early first century Christian, it was a time when men and women heard the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and responded by obeying what they heard. Let me quote just a very small portion of Peter's sermon there on the day of Pentecost as recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter had told them that they, with their wicked hands, had crucified the Christ of glory, and that God had raised him from the dead. And now those that heard him are saying to Peter and to the apostles, in effect, Peter, what you're saying is the truth. We are guilty. What shall we do about it? And they told them that they should repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Philip went to the city of Samaria, and he preached to them Christ and the kingdom of God. We read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So it was the early morning time, the first century, was a time when men and women heard the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, and they responded to it and obeyed it and were saved. And I might add, they did not join church when they got saved. We read in Acts 2 and 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now Philip left Samaria, went down in the desert, and there was a man who had been up to Jerusalem to worship, a eunuch, and he was traveling home. And he was reading the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip, walking along or trotting along beside his chariot, said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "How can I except someone tell me or instruct me?" So he invited Philip up into his chariot. And the scriptures tell us that Philip took that very same scripture and preached unto him Christ. And as they went along, they passed or came to a body of water. And the eunuch said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said to him, "If you have been born again, I'll baptize you. But if you have not, I won't." Well, what did he say? He said, "If thou believest that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, thou mayest." And the Apostle John tells us that if a person really and truly believes in his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then he is born of God. So Philip did, in fact, say to the eunuch, "If you have been born again, I'll baptize you, and if not, I will not baptize you." Now notice this passage of Scripture from 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." He that hath Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. But it's a true doctrine that they obeyed to receive Christ. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, fellowship was spiritual and determined by the truth taught and practiced in first century Christianity. John said, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Fellowship is spiritual and is determined by the truth taught and practiced. First of all, if a person is going to have fellowship with Christians, he must have fellowship with God. Yes, that comes first. If you do not have fellowship with God, then you do not have fellowship with Christians. So fellowship begins with knowing God, by being born of the Spirit of God, by becoming a child of God. And if a person has been born of God and has fellowship with God, and here's another person that has been born of God and has fellowship with God, then they have the basis of spiritual fellowship, true Christian fellowship. Now, I realize there's such a thing as fellowship out in the world. Lodgers may have fellowship. Drunks may have fellowship around a bottle. Gamblers may have fellowship around the gambling table. But we're talking about spiritual Christian fellowship, the kind that the first century Christians had. And that fellowship originated or started with having fellowship with God. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, John said, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, first century disciples were known as Christians. They were to believe and practice the same beliefs. Religious division was viewed as wrong. It was condemned by the Apostle Paul and others.
There at Corinth, some were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. Paul said, is Christ divided? So he did not approve of division. To the contrary, he condemned it. And so, in the first century among Christians, division was not accepted as normal. They were to worship in spirit and in truth, as Jesus Christ told the woman at the well in Samaria. The Father seeketh such to worship him, as will worship him in spirit and in truth. And only true Christians can worship in spirit and in truth. They had no rock bands, they did not dance, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They did not love the world, they loved God with all their heart, and were willing to lay down their very lives for the cause of Christ, and many of them were slain for the cause of Christ. Now, we live in a different age, true, but we need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. What the world needs today, what the religious world needs today, is to get back to first century Christianity. Get back to the teachings of God's Word. Get back to the teachings of the apostles and live the gospel and be a Christian, not in name alone, but in deed and in life. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. We trust that the Holy Spirit has borne witness to hearts of the truth as it has gone forth. And may hearts be receptive, and may they be blessed. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We are truly thankful for the privilege we have of sharing the gospel with you from broadcast to broadcast. And we do trust that our service is being a blessing to you. If so, why not write and let us know? Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. Again, on our webpage, you can download a number of our broadcasts. You can also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.
Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. For a long time I've traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His saving power. Thank God. God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again.
Hallelujah!
I'm saved, saved, saved by wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar who found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His holy name. God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again.
Hallelujah,
I'm saved, saved, saved by wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.